You ready to dive deep?
Let's do it.
Today we are tackling Murray Rothbard, and let me tell you, this is some serious economics, not your typical dry lecture stuff. We're going to try to really understand how states and central banks work, and Rothbard, well, he had some pretty strong opinions on that, to say the least.
Yeah, he wasn't afraid to challenge the status quo.
Not at all. We've got a stack of his work here, his book, Anatomy of the State, lectures on the Federal Reserve, even Q&As where he really let loose. We're talking eye-opening stuff about power, money creation, the whole shebang.
What always gets me about Rothbard is his ability to cut through the fluff and just lay it all out there.
He gets right to it, that's for sure. And he doesn't hold back either. Like, just listen to this opening line from Anatomy of the State. Brace yourself. The state is not some kind of benevolent provider of services.
Oh, I know this one. But rather an organization that uses force to extract resources from its citizens. Something like that, right?
You got it. Pretty intense, huh?
Straight to the point.
He doesn't beat around the bush. And that phrase, uses force, is key here because Rothbard is really drawing on the work of sociologist Franz Oppenheimer and his distinction between what he called the economic means and the political means.
Right. So the economic means is basically how we usually think about creating wealth, producing goods, trading, offering services. The political means, on the other hand, that's all about using force or the threat of force to take what others have produced.
So not exactly a recipe for a harmonious society.
Not quite.
And what Rothbard argues is that this isn't just some abstract theory. It's the defining characteristic of the state throughout history.
Exactly. You look back through the ages. How did states gain and maintain their power?
Conquest, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Can't forget about taxes.
Regulations, you name it. If it involves using force or the threat of force, they've done it.
And it's not always brute force either. Rothbard also talks about the importance of ideology. How states use education, propaganda, even art and literature to shape how people think.
It's like they're trying to control the narrative.
Exactly. It's about convincing people that their rule is not only necessary, but inevitable.
You need us. You can't possibly survive without us, that sort of thing.
That's it. He makes this brilliant comparison to the Emperor's New Clothes.
Oh, I love that story.
Remember how everyone is too afraid to admit they don't see the Emperor's magnificent outfit because they don't want to seem stupid or be labeled a dissenter?
Right, they just play along.
So the Emperor, or in this case the state, can keep up this illusion of power.
It's amazing how easily we can be manipulated when we're afraid to question things.
It really is. And that fear, that's what allows those in power to maintain their grip, often for far longer than they should.
It's a powerful analogy, and it makes you think about all the ways, subtle and not so subtle, that power is maintained in our own world.
It certainly does. And it's a good reminder to always be questioning, always be critical, and never be afraid to point out when the emperor, well, might not be wearing any clothes.
Speaking of illusions of power, let's talk about central banks.
Ah, yes. Central banks. Rothbard definitely did not have warm and fuzzy feelings towards them.
That's putting it mildly. He saw them as being fundamentally opposed to a free market.
He did. He went so far as to call them anti-capitalist, which might sound extreme, but when you really dig into it, into the history of central banking, the creation of the Federal Reserve, it's hard to argue with him.
So walk us through that history, because I think for a lot of people, the story of the Fed is kind of a mystery. We know it's important, but how it actually came to be, not so much.
Right. It's not exactly common knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, to understand the Fed, you have to go back to the time before it existed, back when private banks would try to form these cartels to, you know, prop themselves up, try to control the money supply.
And how'd that work out for them?
About as well as you'd expect. They always fell apart. Rothbard gives all these examples. Attempts to fix the price of buttermilk, for instance. Railroad regulations. But every single time, these cartels, they couldn't cut it. They failed.
But why, though? Why couldn't they just, like, band together and make it work?
Because they lacked the one ingredient that could have made them successful: force. Without the government backing them up, they couldn't get rid of competition. They couldn't stop new players from entering the market and undercutting their little schemes.
So, okay, we've got these failed cartels. How do we get from there to the Federal Reserve? They didn't just, like, rebrand and call it a day, did they?
No, no. It was much more deliberate than that. And Rothbard does a great job of tracing out the steps. It all starts with a crisis, the Panic of 1907.
Oh, yeah. I remember learning about that in my economics classes. Wasn't that blamed on a lack of regulation? Like, the banks were just running wild and it all blew up?
That's the story we're told, right? Too much freedom.
Right.
Not enough oversight. But Rothbard argues, pretty convincingly, that it was actually the opposite.
Yes. The panic of 1907, he says, was actually caused by the system that was already in place, a quasi-centralized banking system that was full of government interventions and manipulations.
Wow. So the crisis that supposedly proved we needed a central bank was actually caused by too much government meddling. Talk about a plot twist.
It gets even better. Because the big bankers of the time, the ones you'd think would be freaking out about this panic, they actually used it to their advantage.
How so?
They saw this crisis, this panic, as the perfect opportunity. It gave them the leverage to push for a real central bank, one with even more power than before.
And this is where that whole secretive meeting on Jekyll Island comes in.
Exactly. November 1910, you've got this group of powerful financiers, politicians, meeting in secret on this island off the coast of Georgia.
Sounds like a scene from a movie.
It really does. And we're not talking about small timers here. This was J.P. Morgan, Paul Warburg from Kuhn Loeb, the titans of finance.
Not exactly champions of the free market, were they?
Not exactly. They were there to design a system to centralize power, to control the money supply, and to, let's be honest, benefit their own interests.
Sounds a little shady, to say the least.
And the thing is, they weren't messing around. Rothbard lays out how they meticulously went about crafting the Federal Reserve Act. They learned from the mistakes of previous central banks, and this time they made sure they got it right.
So they've got this plan, this Federal Reserve, and they get it passed. What did they do with it?
What they always wanted, inflate the money supply. This is where that whole idea of an elastic money supply comes in.
Elastic money supply, that sounds kind of sketchy.
It is, when you think about it. Like, most people think about stable money as a good thing. Steady prices, you know, you can actually plan for the future.
Makes sense.
But for central bankers, for those who benefit from, you know, the way things are set up, an elastic money supply, well, it's even better.
How so?
Because you can manipulate it. You can artificially inflate these booms, and it creates this illusion of prosperity.
Right, but those booms are never real, are they? They're built on, well, on what exactly?
On nothing. Hot air. And here's the thing. Those booms, they always lead to busts.
Which, as we know, always seem to catch everyone by surprise.
They always do, don't they?
Mm.
Even though, as Rothbard points out, they're not really a surprise. They're the inevitable consequence of those inflationary policies.
So it's like this cycle, this boom and bust cycle that just keeps repeating.
Exactly. You create the problem, then you offer the solution, which just so happens to give you more power.
And this is where, if I'm not mistaken, that Rothbard really goes after things like the FDIC, right? Deposit insurance. Because on the surface, it seems like, okay, that's there to protect people. But Rothbard says, no, not so fast.
He was very clear on that point.
Yeah.
He said these deposit insurance schemes, they actually encourage reckless behavior.
How so?
Because it creates what economists call moral hazard. When banks know they'll be bailed out, if they take on too much risk, well, they're more likely to take on too much risk.
They're playing with house money.
Exactly. It's like giving someone a free pass to gamble with someone else's money.
Which never ends well.
Never. And this all goes back to what Rothbard kept saying, this fundamental conflict. State power versus, well, social power, I guess you could call it. The state, with its monopoly on force, its desire for control, it's always going to try to expand its reach, right?
It's in the nature of the beast.
In central banking, Rothbard shows this very clearly. It's one of the most effective tools at their disposal.
So, pretty bleak picture. We've got these central banks, they're manipulating the money supply, they're creating these cycles of boom and bust. Is there any way out, or are we doomed?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rothbard, he was a historian at heart, and he argued that throughout history, every attempt to limit state power, it eventually failed.
That's not very encouraging.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we give up. It just means we have to work harder, be more creative, more persistent.
So where do we even start?
Maybe by understanding how these systems work, how they're designed. Because if you can see the mechanics, well, you can start to envision something better.
Something that doesn't rely on centralized control and the promise of endless growth, which, let's face it, is a bit of a fairy tale.
A fairy tale indeed. And on that note, maybe we should give the last word to Rothbard himself.
Yeah, let's hear it.
He said, "It is not enough to denounce the evils of the world. It is necessary to understand their causes. So keep learning, keep questioning, and never, ever stop pushing for a better future."
Words to live by. That's it for this deep dive. We'll be back next week with another thought-provoking episode. Until then, keep exploring, keep learning, and as always, stay curious.